Hello, I'm Ray Wright, founder and CEO of RevOpsSquared and host of the Metrics That Measure Up podcast. We talk to a wide variety of B2B SaaS industry thought leaders, executives, and people just like you to discuss what metrics, KPIs, and benchmarks they use to enable better data-driven metrics-informed decisions that accelerate revenue performance and increase enterprise value. Now, on to today's show. Welcome to today's episode of the Metrics That Measure Up podcast. Today, we are joined by Anurag Kempka, the founder of Market First and a pioneer in the marketing automation and marketing operations industry. Today, we will be covering three main areas with Anurag: marketing automation, how's it evolved over the last 20 years? Marketing operations, is it a strategic or tactical position, function, and career path? And third, what is the future of marketing technology? And what are the most important skills required to succeed in marketing operations in 2020 and beyond? Anurag, please take a moment to give a brief background overview of your journey to becoming a guest on the Metrics That Measure Up podcast.
Thank you, Ray. I'm glad to be here. You know, it's been a very, very interesting path that I have had. I started as an engineer. I'm an electrical engineer, to be precise. And then I came to US, did a computer science master's, and then joined a networking company, Ungerman Bass, which was a leader in the computer network industry, and was doing their software product development, network management development, where I kind of started to have a lot of interaction with the marketing team and sort of developed my interest into marketing automation. And started a company called Market First back in 1996. And that was a very first marketing automation company. It took the concepts from internet, databases, to solve the problems for marketing in terms of your communication, engagement, lead funnel, things like that. And then Market First was pretty interesting overall, had a pretty good run growth in a new nascent market. And then with the 2000 market crash, the market kind of withered there. But then we got sold to another company called Pivotal, which was a CRM company. And later on, I started RightWave. And the whole idea with RightWave was to go a step forward from SaaS to MaaS, which we call MaaS, which is a marketing automation and service. And we can talk about that a little more. But over time, that RightWave has become a marketing operations excellence and marketing automation ROI related solutions and services company. And that's where I am now.
Well, Anurag, let's go back a little bit. So you're an electrical engineer by schooling. Mm-hmm. You became a software developer at a US networking kind of infrastructure software company. And then you founded the first generation marketing automation company. What was it specifically that said, man, I think this marketing automation thing can be really big, and had you leave a secure job with a larger company to launch your own company?
So I kind of stumbled into it. So at Ungerman Bass, UB Networks, I was the architect of their network management platform. And so there used to be a big, large trade show back early in 1990s called Interop. And Ungerman Bass, being a networking company, used to go there. And the inter there is kind of related to internet in some ways, but it's really the internetworking between companies and between things. That was the genesis of that trade show, as well as the Ungerman Bass being a pioneer into networking. So we built a network management platform, and I got the opportunity to travel with marketing folks a lot at that time, going to different trade shows, presenting that network management platform, the vision, and how the networking is becoming more virtual and things like that. So I got the opportunity to travel with marketers. So many marketers became my friend. And that is where I also realized, with my engineering background, that marketing is investing so much money, so many dollars, hundreds of thousands, and sometimes a million plus on a trade show. And they have nothing to show for it after a few months. So one of the trade shows that kind of remains my big memory and the basis of Market First We went to Interop, spent over $500,000, which was a very successful show, came back with what everywhere in the company was praised at, that more than 2,000 leads. And then fast forward 3 months, and I asked my marketing friend, hey, what happened to the 2,000 leads? I don't see company's bottom line move much and the top line move much. And he basically said, oh, we gave them to sales. So I kind of investigated more and realized that there was no lead management system. Nobody knew about those leads. Those were somewhere lying in somebody's file somewhere. But the VP of sales had no idea. VP of marketing had no idea. And that's what the genesis of thinking about, hey, what if we do a software for marketing? And at the same time, the internet was taking off. And this is, I'm talking about 1993, 94 time when Netscape had just become public. And internet was changing the way people do business. Marketing at that time was primarily focused at the event management. They will do trade shows. They will do some brand management, but really weren't involved in an interactive communication with your prospects and customers. Internet was coming out with a totally different way of interacting and communicating with the people. And I kind of realized that, you know, internet is probably the ultimate response medium that marketing would probably want to have. And so there were many factors coming into play. I got this vision in terms of, what if we take internet, we take databases, and we build a system for marketers where they can actually interact and communicate on the website on a one-on-one manner with their audience, but also all the interaction is stored and provided as a leads, which can be followed up. Today, that all looks very basic, but at that time, nothing of that existed because marketers only had spreadsheet as the maximum technology tool that they ever used. So we kind of started with that vision, and then MarketFirst came along.
But Anurag, it's 25 years later, and you talked about sales didn't know where the leads from the trade show was for marketing. 25 years later, we still have a lot of misalignment between marketing and sales. And I was hosting John Miller, who founded Marketo, the second generation of marketing automation after you founded the first generation with MarketFirst.
Yeah.
And he's like, marketing automation was originally developed for a linear process where marketing generated interest and leads, and they handed it over to sales. But in today's world, the buyer is involved in doing research before they even come to your website or before they even become a lead. How have you seen marketing automation evolve over the last few years from when you founded it 25 years ago?
So it's very interesting. If I look at the evolution that has happened over the 25 years, a lot of the issues and problems still haven't been solved, which were there 25 years ago. But at the same time, we have come a long way in terms of the understanding that the marketing needs to have a tool, not marketing needs to have a platform. And a lot of things have evolved there. So for example, when we built MarketFirst and tried to go out and sell it, majority of our sales were primarily an educational sell, right? The more finding a VP of marketing who would buy in the vision, because they themselves didn't know what they needed at that time, right? And so we did a lot of educational sell, telling them that, hey, look, this product can do this for you. So it was a little bit upside down in the sense that even though they had the problem, they didn't know how the problem can be solved. We had to actually say, here is a solution, can solve this problem, which you do realize you have that problem, right? But over the 25 years, the biggest thing I have seen is that today it is taken for granted that we need a marketing automation product. We need to have a marketing tool, and the marketing needs a MarTech stack. And so that, from a overall growth of the market perspective, that has been the biggest change. But another bigger change has been innovation. There have been so much innovation in terms of internet, in terms of communication channels, in terms of interactivity, mobile, which weren't even there at that time. And so the marketing's challenge has evolved from being a primarily event management and brand management to actually the engagement and the customer experience or user experience or prospect experience with the company. And that has evolved over time. And that is also the reason why there are so many solutions or so much marketing technology being built around in terms of addressing those evolving requirements and innovation that has been happening all around us in terms of communication, in terms of need of the user experience, and user expectations. But the fundamentals of marketing automation has not changed much. It is still interacting with the customer, engaging with the customer, trying to make or a prospect and trying to make them interested in your product, ultimately gathering a warm, qualified lead and moving it to sales where sales can then follow through. Now, there have been other angles in terms of ABM where we need a little bit better sales alignment or the different channels that the marketing has to manage. But the fundamental flow, I don't think has that much changed because you still have the same basic requirements that you really need to develop qualified leads that the sales can follow up, and especially in a B2B environment.
You know, one of the interesting things, and you said it a little bit ago about a lot of companies really didn't know how to use marketing automation. And when you were at Market First, they really used you to kind of help them design and define marketing campaigns that could use marketing automation. I see the same thing going on today with the marketing operations function. In fact, with 8,000 plus MarTech solutions and another 5,000 plus sales tech solutions that need to integrate into MarTech, it looks like marketing operations is becoming a critical function, but I'm not sure if it's a tactical function to do a lot of data integration and system integration, or if it's more of a strategic, how do you improve the return on marketing investment? How do you see marketing operations today?
So if you look at marketing operations, if you look like 10 years ago, in late 2007, 2008, there was not even a department called marketing operations. And as the technology challenge of the marketing grew, as the MarTech continued to grow, the marketing automation platform continued to grow, and the marketing team, which by definition is a line of business team, didn't have those marketing experiences, they had to build in the marketing operations. In fact, prior to that, like in 2004, I founded this company called RightWave. And the reason I did that was my experience from Market First. At Market First, we sold it to over 250 enterprises, likes of Pfizer and Sharp Electronics and SAP. And what I found is our most successful customers were those where either they were utilizing a lot of our services people to build their marketing campaigns and to be successful with them. For example, Applied Biosystems were using like four marketing, our services folks on almost on a permanent basis. Or there were companies like SAP who have built in a 10 people team within SAP in Waldorf who were serving rest of the marketing team by doing their marketing campaigns and managing their databases and things like that using Market First. So the operations aspect, operations need had always been there. Earlier, it was being addressed through IT, but over time, as the marketing function grew and more technology started to come, we have the marketing operations department that has been built. And so marketing operations department is more of a support department to utilize the marketing operations, marketing automation solutions and the MarTech stack better. But what I'm also finding now is that a lot of the companies are using it much more as a just a tactical function to get things done that the marketing folks do. But realistically, the question was, is it really a strategic? It is actually very strategic in terms of understanding that what the technology can do for you and how your business requirements can be solved with the available technology available. And that is where we find a lot of gap today with the customers, that they have an operations team who is a lot more tactical, as opposed to it needs to be strategic to understand that how can they get the best ROI from the best investment with the most optimal technology solutions available for the specific business requirement of a company.
You know, let me dig into that a little bit, because if you look at even 5 to 7 years ago, you had a Salesforce automation platform. You probably had a marketing automation platform and maybe one or two other point solutions that integrated into that. Today, you know, with sales development and sales using sales engagement platforms like Outreach or social media listening and social media engagement platforms like LinkedIn, Sales Navigator, coupled with a lot of the analytics tools that you have in marketing, it seems like marketing operations is spending more time on application integration and data integration and data cleansing than on how do we actually make marketing campaigns provide a higher return. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that with the complexity of MarTech rising, the investment into using those solutions in terms of the best way or to serve your requirements better has also been rising. But from an effectiveness perspective, I still think that the campaign and the message and targeting is fundamentally still the driver, right? It's all about the value that you are providing to the customer in terms of increasing your marketing ROI. It still remains at number one. But the technology has becoming more and more complex. If I look at the MarTech stack today or MarTech companies out there, they are companies who are solving advertisement problem, the promotion problem, the content management problem, your user experience problem, your search, internet search, your social media, your mobile communication, your data management, your analytics, your budget planning. There are so many things that marketing has to do today. And that's one of the biggest change that has opened over the 25 years. It used to be much, much more simpler for marketing than versus how it has evolved over time, because marketing is fundamentally taking a lot more than what they used to do before. Today, when you are a company, your website is your primary face to the whole world. And in majority of the companies, it's marketing who manages that. So it's all about the content, all about messaging that they have to do, but also the user experience and tracking and understanding the customer behavior that starts from your website, but then continues into many, many different channels, whether it is chat, whether it's mobile, whether it's phone. And so the challenge to marketing has really grown, has really become a lot more multidimensional. That all has to come together in a united fashion in order to move the team in one direction. It's like these are different players, they all have to work together. And that has become a job of marketing operations and the marketing teams now, more and more so as we go forward. And I feel that we are just scratching the surface. There is so much more that can happen and over time evolve. But fundamentally, the marketing operations, managing the marketing operations in alignment with your sales and business needs is going to be very critical to not just justify your marketing investment into technology, but also your overall marketing investment and getting the best ROI from that.
Well, that brings up a totally different question and one I wanted to touch base with you on today. You talked about the increased complexity of the marketing environment, more tools, more players, more responsibilities. But same thing's happening in sales and sales operations where they have multiple platforms that need to be integrated. And now in today's SaaS model, we have a land and expand. Marketing also needs to be just as involved in not only helping acquire new customers, but retaining and growing existing customers. And as a result, there's this new trendy topic called revenue operations. Mm-hmm. And it's viewed as the integration of sales operations, marketing operations, and customer success operations. Do you see this need to have a more integrated, maybe less complex end-to-end process that's focused on the user experience? Is that going to increase or decrease the need for dedicated marketing operations resources?
What I feel is that every company needs to have a consistent path of a complete customer journey, right? A prospect journey. It starts from interacting with more or less marketing initiatives, moves on to the sales, and then it goes to the customer success. So it's like you have different facets of your game and they all have to work together. So currently, I see a lot of disconnect. When I go to a lot of customers, I find there's a significant amount of disconnect between sales and marketing. Over time, it is getting better. Like long time back, sales and marketing would not even see each other properly, and they will just work in separate vacuums. But that's not how today in the world for the successful companies is. Sales and marketing are doing a lot of collaboration, working together in alignment in terms of your strategic goals, what kind of customers we need, what persona you need to attack, what kind of investment you need to make. All that is working together. But they're still separate departments, because the focus you need for sales operations, or the focus you need for marketing operations, or to that matter, customer success operations, require not just the different technology and the expertise, but also different mindset. So I don't see that one department is going to combine all these three together. But at the same time, there's a very high real need of having a consistent integration of the three things and alignment of the three things together. And I think that's where revenue ops comes into the picture, because just to ensure that all those three departments, all those three operations are moving in the same direction to become a winning team together. So revenue ops, which is, as you said, the trendy topic, it's more than just a trendy topic. It's actually reality, which we really need to be growing. But it's not going to be a replacement of a sales op or marketing op or customer success op, but more of an integrator of the three in terms of ensuring the alignment of the team. And I think that's what is going to continue to evolve better as we go forward, because the marketing operations, or as a marketing as a whole, what they are delivering versus what are the needs and requirements of the sales, have to work together to provide the end user a consistent experience through its complete journey. And I think RevOps will play a very significant role in that being done.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I've hosted several guests on the Metrics of Measure podcast to discuss this, I get two very almost diametrically opposed views of revenue operations. One is, we need to have an organization that's responsible for internal alignment from a data perspective, from a process, platform, and then reporting and analytics. Then I have another constituency that says revenue operations is more about ensuring that we have a seamless customer experience from initial point of engagement all the way through retention and growth. Which do you see it? Do you see it more as a integration alignment, or more focused on the buyer journey and making sure it's a seamless experience for the buyer?
I don't think those are two different things. It's not an either or, right? It is the consistent user experience and buyer journey is the need, is the requirement. And how do you achieve it is through all the different integrations to make sure that somebody is making sure that all these three very important departments where the customer engages and customer interacts with are responded to in a consistent manner. So I don't think these are two separate goals. They are integrated, similar goals. It's just maybe how they are phrased. The second one requires the first one to happen.
Yeah, what's really interesting, we just conducted some research in partnership with HubSpot and GoNimbly. Mm-hmm. And about 64% of the respondents said the number one job of revenue operations is alignment and integration across marketing, sales, and customer success. And number five was to ensure that there's a seamless, well-integrated customer experience. So it was 64% compared to less than 30%. And then when we asked a second question, it was how important is a seamless integrated customer experience to revenue growth? 71% said it was very important. So even though I heard what you said, Anna Rong, from a reality and organizational perspective, RevOps is still focused more on inside-oriented integration and alignment versus external customer experience enhancement.
And I don't disagree with you that today, it's more tactical from that perspective that we need to integrate these things together. But just think about, why are you integrating these together? You are integrating these together so their customers can have a seamless experience across the enterprise.
Oh, I thought it was so that sales and marketing didn't keep yelling at each other.
And that's part of the, ultimately, it's all about the customer, right? Whether it's sales or marketing or customer success or whoever we are working with or the enterprise, ultimately it's about customer. That's the bottom line. And I think those goals are not separate. They are same goals. That when you talk about the customer experience, it's more strategic goal, and integration is more tactical goal towards the same quest.
That makes total sense. Unfortunately, I think we see people getting so drawn into the weeds of the tactical. It's hard sometimes to step back, raise your head out of your day-to-day job and think strategically. It's that balance that's so difficult.
It's always there. It's always there. And it's always the biggest, because when you start thinking a lot more strategic, it could take so many different shapes as you go forward. So ultimately, you have to deliver at the tactical level because you need to look at your short-term goals, short-term achievements. And I think where RevOps today is, as you said, it's trendy, it's new. So in its earlier stage, anything in the earlier stage is not that much strategic as it is more tactical. It has to solve the immediate pain points. An immediate pain point that it needs to solve is the alignment between the sales and marketing and customer success, because you can't have different messaging, you can't have different experiences through those as the customer goes through them.
Totally agreed. Let me go to the last topic that I really was excited about having you as our guest today, because I look at someone in you that in 1996, you called the need for marketing automation. And today it's a huge marketplace. And then 10 years later, you called the need for a robust marketing operations organization to be able to optimize and maximize the return on investment of marketing automation platforms. Anurag, if you look here at 2020 and look out for the next 2 to 5 years, what's the next big thing?
So that's, I think, the most difficult thing, because it's not easy to predict what the future looks like. If you had asked in 1995, all I knew was that marketing automation got to be one of the most successful enterprise solutions going forward. It became a SaaS solution, which also with Market First, we implemented back in 1998. But what I really see is that the future is not that predictable because, number one, the innovation continues to happen. Right. The innovation that has happened over the last 20 years has changed significantly in terms of what MarTech looks like. I could have never imagined that MarTech will have 8,000 solutions today. It just happened because there have been so much innovation in internet, in communication, in interactive medium, in omnipresence of information, which all happened over time. So going forward, what I really see is that, number one, we probably are going to be looking at innovation and primarily in two main areas. One is the capacity of internet. I think we are still scratching the surface of what internet can do. It needs to become a lot more responsive. It needs to become a lot more personal. It needs to become a lot more predictive. So I think there is a lot going to happen there. And then second is AI. I think AI and the data and the big data is going to provide a lot more solution. And you already see that in this big MarTech solution set out there, that people are starting to build stuff there. And really what needs to be seen is that as we go forward in terms of MarTech, what is going to be the scope that is driven under marketing versus what is driven under sales, what is driven under customer experience. And maybe what you are saying in terms of the RevOps, it is going to become an umbrella department and what is driven through that. So the scope is going to do. But one thing is for sure, with the 8,000 MarTech solution out there in marketing, there is no business sense to have that many competitions. So probably next few years, we are going to see a lot of mergers and acquisitions in this space, because consolidation got to happen of what is already there. And we probably want to see a lot different type of companies primarily driven from advancements in internet and AI that are going to show up in the MarTech space.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. History often repeats itself, even in the world of technology. And I look at the proliferation of client server apps back in the 90s. You had a supply chain app, you had a financial app, you had a warehousing app, you had a marketing app, and then ERP, enterprise resource planning, came together. I see the same potential here in the go-to-market functions of marketing, sales, and customer success. I see the need for either better integration between existing platforms via consolidation or the emergence of a truly integrated customer experience management platform. What do you think of that?
So some of that you are already seeing. So for example, if you look at the sales operations and the sales technologies, right? the number of solutions in that space is already started to decrease. The universal winners have started to emerge, right? But MarTech is, I would say, about 10 years behind from where the sales stack is. And so MarTech is at a point where, in terms of number of solutions, we are pretty much on its top. And then we are going to probably start to consolidate and understand the different feature functions and their applicability, vertical solutions versus horizontal solutions. And more of those horizontal solutions are going to consolidate into more integrated platforms. Or the platforms that are more about a integration platforms as opposed to the functionality platforms. And I think that evolution still needs to happen in MarTech.
Yeah, totally agreed. The need for integration platforms or API-based platforms, I think it's going to explode over the next 2 to 5 years. Hey, Rock, let me wrap up today. Recently, I've been hosting several great founder entrepreneurs, from John Miller, who founded and then left Marketo, founded and sold and left Engageo. Court Lorenzini, who was the co-founder of DocuSign, left 5 years after that. The co-founder of LinkedIn, Constantine Gerica, was not only a co-founder, but the initial chief marketing officer, left after 5 years. You founded Market First, and you were the initial CEO. Can you share for our listeners who are founders and entrepreneurs out there, your advice or experience of going from founder CEO to handing the company off to a quote-unquote professional CEO? Any advice you can give founders out there?
So as a first-time entrepreneur back in late 90s when I did Market First, I think we went through what most founders go through in terms of that you start the company, you're wearing so many different hats, and then slowly as you grow, you bring in other leadership, other members in your team, and keep taking out those hats. And those founders who bring in a CEO, which I did, is, I think, one of the most difficult hats to transfer to another person. Because once you do that, you are now a team player and you are no longer the driver. And that's a very difficult transition to go through. And for the founders who have to go through that transition, and there are a lot of very valid reasons for that. As first-time founders, you don't really have that experience to build the multifaceted needs of a company that are required. And that's a perfectly valid thing to do. But just make sure, number one, that your team members that you bring in have the similar goals. One of the key things I felt that when you bring team members who have different goals, it could, both personal and professional, end up creating issues that may not be good for the company as a whole. But at the same time, make sure that the team members that you're bringing in are in alignment. And I think in the end, a lot of the founders have to go through this, that if the incoming team is able to do better job than you can do, it may also be time to step out. Or the day you start feeling, I'm not having fun anymore, that may be the time to step out. Because founders usually have a different kind of work satisfaction metric than most other people. So I would say two things. One, bring in a team who have the similar goal. And second, the day you feel that the other team is doing a better job than me or it's no longer fun, you should step up.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it really mirrors things that John Miller said. He said, when you're the founder and initial CEO, over time, as you bring more and more people in, you're whittling your job down. And after a while, you got to ask yourself, am I still having fun? And then Court Lorenzini, who was a co-founder and initial CEO at DocuSign, his advice was, I love the napkin concept to product market fit. But mm-hmm. when it comes time to operational excellence and scaling the business, he goes, that just wasn't my cup of tea. And if I'm still there in the company and at board meetings, the CEO that we bring in might always be looking over his shoulder. So I think your advice is right on point, Anurag, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you being a guest on the Metrics That Measure Up podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you for listening to today's Metrics That Measure Up podcast. If you would like to learn more about B2B SaaS metrics and benchmarks, please visit revopsquared.com.